Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Does what you like on Facebook really reveal who you are? Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is October 29th, 2013. Thanks for being here today. We're on day two of our psychology article, You Are What You Like. And it's a great article, and it's so timely and relevant because it does take a look at something that is permeating society, but we don't really think about it that much. And we have this activity now with Facebook, and so many people do participate in Facebook, but it's all about this liking thing, and this one little thing that we really may not think about actually may say a lot about us as far as who we are, and that information can be used, and we're definitely not thinking about that, but that information can be used as far as promoting products and all sorts of other things as far as classifying us into certain groups. And it's one thing to have products promoted to us, but we'll actually find out today there could be some other things that maybe not so good, how that information could be used, could be damaging in a way. So fascinating article, make us think about stuff. My two panelists are back from yesterday, Campbell Chong and Catherine Huff. Hi, panelists.
Hello, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Great to have you back. Before we get into today, let me get a thought from yesterday from each one of you.
Well, I think it's interesting that we're talking about Facebook. I remember when I first started using Facebook, it was a novelty. It was something new, something fun. I had no idea it was going to blow up into something that would change society and our culture. And the fact that we're even talking about this now, and actually it really does make me think twice about the things that I'm doing on Facebook.
Yeah, okay. When you think twice, it's making you think twice.
It makes me think again. You know, it makes me really want to be careful about the things I post and the things I like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've done that too, just even on individual things. For instance, I might want to make a comment about something, and I'm like, I got to think twice about this.
Right.
Hesitate, maybe wait a little bit before I do.
Yeah, and knowing that the things that you put on there, you think it's private, you think only your friends can see it, but people are actually using it to find out more about you, to push ads to you, and then, as you said, today we're going to find out about how other people are going to be able to use that information as well.
Well, I think Campbell is absolutely right. Like our article said yesterday, the data that they found showed that only a quarter of users were clicking the like button. And I think that that really shows that there are so many people out there that are hesitant about endorsing or supporting too many things and actually clicking the button.
Yeah.
And it kind of – I think it shows that Facebook has become a little bit too open, a little bit too invasive. So
invasive.
Invasive means invading, getting too far in there, kind of taking over people's lives maybe.
Getting into their privacy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a couple things there. Yeah. Reading that, three quarters of people don't click on like. So there's a large chunk of Facebook users that kind of like they surf it, they scan it, but they don't really participate.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that it's not just likes that maybe people aren't doing, but I noticed there's a lot of people who are on Facebook, but they don't really post much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might, for some reason, they don't want to post much. There's a very strong core of people that are very active. You'll probably notice 5 or 10% of the people who are your friends are constantly posting things, multiple things each day.
Right.
But then there's this huge group that, like, never posts anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I often wonder why they're even on Facebook.
Right.
Well, maybe they use it simply as a way to keep in touch with people. Mm-hmm. I know that for me, Facebook is a big part of my life because I use it to stay in contact with friends back mm-hmm. in the United States.
Right. Yeah. Like my parents, well, my mom, she doesn't even have a profile picture, but she just uses it mm-hmm. to look at, you know, pictures of our daughter, her granddaughter,
yeah.
so she can keep in touch. But she doesn't post anything. She'll, on the occasion, click a like or comment on a photo, but that's it.
That's how my grandmother is. My sister and I are her only friends, and she just looks at our pictures.
Future of Facebook. What's the future? What do you think?
I don't know. I'm kind of nervous about it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty nervous about, you know, how much this Facebook has taken over the world.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to go further, but I think eventually there's going to be a big drawback because people are already making a lot of noise or complaining a lot about the lack of privacy on mm-hmm. Facebook. So it's going to go further, but I feel like eventually people are going to make it stop somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've always felt here, at least for a long time, several years, that eventually Facebook will be overtaken by other things, whether it's one thing or another thing. And that typically happens, we see in technology, mm-hmm. in the internet world, leaders at one time, maybe 5 years, 10 years later, are not the leaders anymore. MySpace was the spot to go to 8-9 years ago.
Nobody even She's like, that. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I actually never used MySpace.
Me either.
I hated it.
But it was the place
yeah.
8, 9, 10 years ago.
Yep.
Nokia was the leader, had 70% of the cell phone market
mm-hmm.
years ago. Now, almost nothing, right? Completely overtaken by Apple. So I've always thought Facebook is actually one good idea away from being passed by somebody else. And somebody else will come up with one good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might actually be divided up into multiple different sites as we become more specialized and customized,
mm-hmm.
as people are more and more segmented. Everybody wants their own thing. And there are so many startups that are coming up to address individual desires.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, they say 1 billion users. I don't think there's 1 billion active users. I think that's how many accounts there are.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is it's probably 100 million or 200 million active users. I don't think there's 1 billion active users.
Right.
So, okay, but we are talking about likes and how they do reveal so much about your personality. And talking about this study that was done at the University of Cambridge and let's pick up from yesterday's reading and learn about some of the results. And the results were, some of the results were hardly surprising. Likes could accurately predict a user's gender and ethnicity in 95% of the cases. Democrats and Republicans could be identified 85% of the time. And Christians and Muslims were sorted correctly 82% of the time. On the other hand, predicting whether your parents split up before you were 21 was only slightly better than chance, 60%. But even doing better than a coin flip was significant, researchers noted, because it required the algorithm to glean something about people related to the user, not about the user himself. Facebook likes, in fact, are almost as informative as commonly used questions in personality tests when it comes to assessing someone's openness to new experiences and ideas, according to the study. Researchers at the University of Cambridge looked at the likes of nearly 60,000 Facebook users, and they analyzed all of this and what did they come up with?
Well, they found out that likes of a person could accurately predict a user's gender and ethnicity in 95% of the cases.
Okay. Gender, male or female?
Right.
Right. All right. And then how do we define ethnicity?
Well, ethnicity is a large group of people who have the same national, racial or cultural origins.
Okay. All right. So whether you're American or Chinese or Italian
mm-hmm.
or Brazilian or whatever you might be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next.
Well, it says Democrats and Republicans could be identified 85% of the time. So your political affiliation, which what you believe politically, could be predicted pretty at a high percentage as well.
Just based on likes. Mm-hmm. And we did talk yesterday about conservative and liberal.
That's right. And if you're conservative, you usually affiliate with Republicans. Mm-hmm. And if you're liberal, you usually affiliate with Democrats, at least if you're in the United States.
Yeah. And so your likes will be follow along those lines, and they could probably identify what you are, how you're going to vote.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you like certain politicians, it would be pretty easy to guess who you would vote for in a political campaign.
Yeah. And then also along religious lines.
Right. And it says Christians and Muslims were sorted correctly 82% of the time. So I think – but the thing is, I really think it's interesting that it's not 100%. So I really worry that people are going to start using this information to make judgments on people, but it's not completely 100% accurate.
That's a good word. And we're going to come back to that word a little bit later in our reading today about how this information can be used to make judgments about people, inaccurate judgments, actually. So now, those are some of the things that were pretty strong as far as predicting. On the other hand.
Well, on the other hand, predicting whether your parents split up or got divorced or separated before you were at the age of 21 was only slightly better than chance, and that was 60%.
Okay. And when we mean slightly better than chance, what do we mean?
It just means, you know, chance is 50-50, right? Mm. It could happen. It might not happen. It's not for sure. So you them being able to predict whether – I don't know why they're trying to predict whether your parents would split up, but the chances of knowing for sure whether your parents would divorce – is, you know, a 50-50, slightly better than that.
That's actually a very specific prediction they're trying to make, not my political party, not my ethnicity or gender,
right?
But whether or not what happened in my family before I was 21.
Right.
That seems so narrow.
Well, that's why I think that this is so interesting, because it's not like if you're on Facebook, you wouldn't – well, most people probably wouldn't write out there, my parents divorced when I was at the age of 17. So they're finding these things out by – I don't know. I don't even know what would suggest that that happened to you.
Well, somehow they're getting this from the likes.
Mm-hmm.
So now we say slightly better chance than 50-50. However, is that good or not?
Well, 50-50 is, you know, it's chance. There's no guarantees. But it says, but even doing better than a coin flip was significant, researchers noted, because it required the algorithm to glean something about people related to the user, not about the user himself. So a coin flip, again, 50-50%. So the fact that they were able to predict better than that shows a lot about this algorithm. And an algorithm here is talking about a list of instructions for solving a problem.
Well, there is a significant difference between being right 60% of the time and being right 50% of the time. In fact, over the long run, on a large scale, 60 versus 50 is huge.
Uh-huh.
So all you have to do is go to Las Vegas and win 60% of the time versus 50, and you will be incredibly wealthy.
Right.
So there is a big difference, that 10%. So, but their formula, they had their study, it required an algorithm, and an algorithm is just simply a list of instructions. It's a mathematical formula used to solve a problem. Well, they put all this information, all this like information into a computer, used the algorithm to glean.
That's right. Now, when you glean something, it means that you collect information in very small amounts and often with difficulty. So you're finding out things, but it's not easy to do.
Right.
These aren't things you're specifically told.
And so they were gleaning information related to the people,
right?
Not about them.
Right. So, they were gleaning information about people related to the user. So in this case, we're talking about their parents. Mm-hmm. So they're not actually – so they're saying that the fact that they were able to get 60% is significant because they're not finding out about these people specifically, but they're finding about people that are connected with these people.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It extends beyond the user. Just from that user's like, they could learn something, they could guess something about the person's family.
Mm. So. Yeah, this does actually make me very curious. I kind of wonder if they looked at my likes, what would they know about my family? I don't really want them to know, but
yeah,
I am curious
you don't
to
want
see
them to
what
know.
They would draw from that.
All right. Well, we find out why in the next paragraph.
Yes, it says Facebook likes, in fact, are almost as informative as commonly used questions in personality tests. So it tells a lot about a person by just looking at their likes.
Okay. Many human resource departments and government agencies use personality tests to actually determine whether or not they're going to hire people or, you know, learn all sorts of things about them. For instance, like Myers-Briggs is a typical personality test that's used to assess someone. Now, assess?
Assess means basically to analyze, to see to analyze someone, how they would react in a situation.
Okay. So these likes are just as effective or even more effective when assessing their openness to new experiences and ideas. That's according to the Cambridge University study. Now, some good questions here as we move on in our reading.
Is privacy at risk? Some Facebook users might come to regret their endorsements. A thumbs-up click for Terry Pratchett, a British fantasy novel writer, could indicate you're an introvert, Stilwell said. If an employer saw it, what would they know about you? He said. The accessibility and use of information on Facebook has been a perennial concern, sparking petition campaigns and lawsuits aimed at enhancing safeguards for privacy. But even as users push for more privacy in social networks, their views of what is private have changed, Dr. Nicholas Christakis of Harvard University said.
Catherine had brought up before this reading that she was a little concerned about what might be found out about her and her family, right? So that leads right into this.
Yes. Our first sentence here says some Facebook users might come to regret their endorsements.
Okay. And endorsements would be just another word for affirmations, which we had yesterday, which means likes. And if they might come to regret. What does that mean?
Well, if you regret something that you've done, you wish that you hadn't done it. You feel bad about doing it.
Okay. All right. Now, here is an example of why somebody might come to regret their likes.
Right. A thumbs up click. So a thumbs up, again, when we talk about the thumbs up button, that's the like button. So when you click on that and you like Terry Pratchett, who is a British fantasy novel writer, it could show that you are an introvert. An introvert is someone who is shy and doesn't really like talking to people and meeting new people.
Okay, so that's just one like, maybe on a certain type of writing style. And say, this guy might be introverted. So then what's the concern about that?
Well, the concern is if an employer saw it, what would they know about you? So they see – so you think you're just clicking on, I like this writer, but it's telling an employer something else about you that you never even thought about.
To be honest, this part kind of makes me a little bit mad that
right.
just because you're considered an introvert, it may signify to an employer that that could be a – that's almost what it sounds like.
Right.
Being an introvert could be a problem just because of what you liked on Facebook.
Depends on what they're looking for, what they're looking to hire you for. Right.
Yeah. Right.
If they're looking to hire you as a salesperson, that would be something that they would say, maybe not what we're looking for.
But the thing is, it says it could. It could indicate, but it doesn't say it would definitely indicate. So, again, the whole idea of judging someone on these things when it's not 100%.
All right. So, now, this has been an issue as far as information about users has been an issue for a long time, right?
That's right. It says the accessibility and use of information on Facebook has been a perennial concern. And if something is perennial, it lasts a really long time or happens repeatedly all the time.
All right. And what has happened because of that?
It sparked petition campaigns and lawsuits aimed at enhancing safeguards for privacy. So a petition is one of our specialized terms. It means a document signed by a large number of people demanding or asking some action from the government or another authority. And safeguards here, we're talking about something that protects someone or something from harm.
Well, I can't imagine Facebook's legal fees. How many lawyers they have working for them, but it just would seem like a constant war of lawsuits between Facebook users, competitors, suppliers, vendors,
right.
Mm-hmm. And of course, there have been many, many lawsuits against Facebook from users over the use of information, access, privacy, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what, it's not a new issue as far as privacy and access to information that has been battled and argued about, continues to be. We're talking about likes and how likes can be used, to analyze who you are. Now, but we move on here and learn about more about this privacy and the users.
That's right. It says users are still pushing for more privacy in social networks. But while they're doing that, their views of what is private have changed. I find that really, really interesting, actually.
What does that mean?
Well, I think it means that way back before Facebook, people weren't willing to put out information such as their name, where they live, how old they are, their interests. But now, like just setting up a profile, you put that out everywhere. So that's not so private anymore.
Right. And I think actually as we were reading, I was just having this thought. I mean, another word for Facebook is social media, right? So it is media. It is something that you are promoting and you are putting out there and people can see. And it's interesting that you're complaining when you're the one that's putting this stuff out there.
I would say I've seen now if I have to sign up for something, whether it's Facebook or any other a website, I have to provide more information than I did maybe 5 or 10 years ago. It used to be simpler. Now I'm filling out a lot more information. The other thing is all of this stuff is connected. And a lot of it's connected without me really even knowing why. Mm-hmm. And so I might send a message to somebody on Hotmail.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing I know, my picture from Facebook is showing up in Hotmail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, how in the world did that happen, and why is my picture from Facebook showing up here?
Oh, that's happened to me, too, on websites like Pinterest and some Goodreads. I've had to disconnect my Facebook from those websites because I'm sick of having it all woven together.
So all of this stuff's connected far more than we realize.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's just you might have just clicked an allow button, right? Mm-hmm. When you go into a website and they say, can you allow Facebook? And you don't think anything about it. You don't think twice and you just click okay.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it's all linked and you're reading something here and then it shows up on your Facebook page that you read that thing. And you're wait, hold on. I don't want everybody to see that I read that, you know?
That's exactly right. So be careful with all of it. It's all connected far more than we realize. Okay, what's Facebook have to say? Let's get into that.
Facebook's response. Facebook said users can change who sees likes posted on their timeline. No matter the vehicle for information, it has already been proven that it is possible for social scientists to draw conclusions about personal attributes based on these characteristics, said Fred Wollens, a public policy manager for the company. In the end, the study may be just another demonstration that you can't hide behind a computer screen in an interconnected world.
Bill Quinn here with Catherine Huff and Campbell Chong. We're wrapping up our two-day psychology article, You Are What You Like, and we're talking about a study that the University of Cambridge, some researchers from there, did about how our likes reveal who we are, and now we hear from Facebook.
That's right. Facebook has said that users can change who sees likes posted on their timelines. And I think I've done this before. You can change your settings to so that only you can see it or only your friends, friends of friends, or public or something.
Okay, so then I can do that so then it doesn't show up that, Bill Quinn just clicked on he likes chocolate donuts or something, right?
Right.
Okay. All right. Have you done that?
I have made it so that only my friends can see it. And certain things you can even choose, like specifically if you post something, you can choose only, like you can choose specific people that you want to be allowed to see it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Next paragraph, we hear from Fred Wollens, who is a public policy manager for Facebook. And what does Fred say?
He said that no matter the vehicle for information, it has already been proven that it is possible for social scientists to draw conclusions about personal attributes based on these characteristics.
Well, I like Fred. He talks at an advanced level. Can you explain in English what he says?
Well, he says no matter how they get this information, right, vehicle for information, how this information is delivered, it's been proven that social scientists can find out about people based on what they like.
And what does he mean?
Well, I think what he's saying is that this information, as interesting as it may be, is nothing really, really new. It's been out there before that you can find out things about people through many, many different vehicles or platforms.
Mm. Okay.
I think it's interesting that, you know, after reading this article, you can see how much Facebook has changed society. I mean, there's a whole genre of science called social science, mm-hmm. right? So they analyze the way people use social networks.
I think this is just another piece in the puzzle, their likes.
Mm-hmm.
It's one more piece of data. It's a big piece of data for social scientists to analyze people, not just social scientists, but also, believe me, Facebook is analyzing all of this information so that they can use it to maximize their advertising revenue.
Sure.
For one thing. So they're using all of this like information. How do we maximize advertising revenue, which is the whole reason, which is the future, and they can also use this, translate it over to mobile because mm-hmm. they're going to try and figure out how do they monetize mobile. That's the future. All right. In the end.
Well, the study may just be another demonstration that you can't hide behind a computer screen in an interconnected world.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think, you know, a lot of times we think we're just sitting in front of the computer in the privacy of our home or in our office and nobody can see us, but the things you post out there, people can see, especially if you don't set up your privacy settings. And the thing is, even if you do set up privacy settings, there's nothing keeping Facebook itself from looking at the things you post.
Okay. A lot to think about. You know, we've got this little sidebar there. It's kind of funny. More statistics. Why don't you read that, Catherine?
Okay. Fans of Hello Kitty tended to score high on the openness scale, but lower on the conscientiousness scale. The capability to infer some attributes, such as personality traits, surprised some experts in the psychometrics field.
Okay, that is really funny about Hello Kitty fans. Now, conscientiousness.
Well, conscientiousness just means being aware of what's going on. So they are very open. Maybe they're more liberal, but they're not as aware of what's going on around them.
Aware of others. Mm. That's really interesting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. The second sentence is actually separate from that first sentence about Hello Kitty, right?
Right. It's kind of just saying that how we figure out some things about people surprised experts who study these things.
Yeah. To infer something mm-hmm. means to take data and information and then kind of reach conclusions. Mm-hmm. So this has been a fascinating article about how just your likes can be used to infer attributes about you. Listeners, hope it has helped you, and I'm sure it might impact how you use Facebook. Thanks for being here today. Come on back next time. This is Bill.
Campbell.
And Catherine.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.